The sermon text is going to be taken from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 19, Proverbs 19, verses 1 through 9. Recently familiar to us, Ben has been reading and we've been hearing, and we want to be challenged to be doers of the word of the Lord. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge is not good, and he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. The Lord add a rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, most merciful Father, we come to you. Our rock of salvation, we come to you. Our rose of Sharon, we come to you. Our lily in the valley, we come to you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit. Guide us, Father God, and that we want to hear from you. And Lord, we want to praise you. Help our unbelief, Father God. Pry our fingers away from unbelief. Help us to put all our trust in you, Father God. Pain that we might be going through, Father God. Oh, the rejoicing that we might be going through, oh Lord. Oh, in the valley between those two, oh Father God. If there's a mountain between those two, we ask you that you would bless us in the midst of it, Father God. Guide us in our thinking. Open our hearts that we might be purged of anything that's not like you. It's in the precious name of Jesus we ask this. Amen. GPS. 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 Let me start off by saying what this is not about. This is not about the global positioning system. The global positioning system that's very active in this world that we live in. This is not about a space-based satellite navigation system that provides location and time information in all weather. Anywhere on or near the earth where there's an unobstructed line of sight to four or more GPS satellites. This is not what this is about. This is not what this is about. This is not about one of this world's greatest inventions of modern time. This is not about eliminating the disputes between a husband and a wife about whether we need to get some directions or not, okay? Because that is what GPS actually helped clarify or to reduce, but we yet still have difficulties between husband and wife, right? But it's not about that. The global positioning system does do something I want you to consider, though. It takes away, it removes, if you will, the subjectiveness and personal opinion from the process of navigation. Okay, so if you want to hold on to that part of what this isn't about, I would appreciate it. Okay. GPS as a global positioning system is not perfect, but much better than MapQuest, if you will. And for any of you all that have seen what MapQuest can do, GPS. This GPS that I want to talk to you about for a couple of minutes is God's positioning system, or God's position system. I'd like you to hold on to those two ideas. Positioning system or position system. Positioning system for us. Position system for us. Because we can know where God is or what He's about. Because of His positioning system. God's Word is much like a global positioning system. Like that device, but not designed and made by man. Fortunately for us as Christians, one man didn't write this thing here. And I do say fortunately for us as Christians, because there are many belief systems that are written by one person. I'm not here to talk about that, but just for your consideration. We've got a number of writers that happen to, there's no way that all these people could have a congruent document such as this if it were not for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because we probably couldn't get all of us to agree about anything in here other than we agree that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Bible provides us with an objective standard to guide us from where we are to where we should be. Let me say that again. The Bible provides us with an objective standard to guide us from where we are, because Jesus meets us where we are. If you weren't believers, Jesus would meet you where you are. You don't have to think that you need to get cleaned up, propped up, dressed up, polished up for Him to come and meet you. All you got to do is invite Him in. He's been there. But this Bible that I'm speaking of is a guide from where we are currently, wherever you are right now, even as you are as a believer. Because you're still here, there's work to be done. And God has the prescription for what it is you need to be doing. If you look back at the Proverbs, coming from verse 1, the contrast is between a poor person who is honest and a devious one, referred to as a fool who distorts the truth. The poor person is better off in the analysis of that situation in Proverbs. Please remember, God has said, do not call anyone a fool. But the Spirit of God has really been using that. If you go back into the 18 chapters of Proverbs prior to the one that we just read from, God uses the word fool a number of times. It's okay for Him to do that. But He's told us not to call somebody a fool. That's rather a judgmental term. However, we are foolish at times. Even in our own admission of ourselves. God used that word. He really had been using it. Just acknowledge that. Apparently there are quite a few fools in the human family, for God to have used that as many times. The human family, of which we are part of. You know, in verse 2, also, it's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. You know, the word acknowledges that it's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And some of us actually, you know, find that, well, let me stay on task here. This man knows that something needs to be done. You know, the fact of the matter is that the person that is confronted with their own lack of knowledge, the word says, you know, ask God. He'll give you what you need. You might not like the answer, but he'll give you what you need at the time. The Bible tells us what to do and how to do it. Doing it is another issue. It's a prescription. It's like about like if you get a prescription from your doctor. You can choose to use the prescription as directed, or you can, Tony kind of laughs when she said that, being in the medical field, she knows that many people will have a diagnosis that is very treatable, and because they don't follow the protocol that a doctor has, a doctor or a nurse has given as a guideline, the person spirals downward instead of actually improving in health. Be that as it may about the physical, understand we're talking about spiritual. Way more important. That's not to discount your physical well-being, but the person that really doesn't follow a prescription is like this man here. Oftentimes, you're going to go off half-cocked because you haven't utilized that which was available to you, and you become apprehensive and you rush headlong into doing something that's really counterproductive, or you don't do something that you should be doing, and you don't improve in your situation. Haste only adds to the person's misery. This man, as referred to here, is in too much of a hurry to ask for directions or follow them if given. Going back to the prescription that the doctor may give you. You miss your mark. You miss your way. The way, the truth, and the life. You miss that. And consequently, you go around lost. I'm going back spiritual on you. If you don't follow the script, if you will, that you have here, you're going to invariably be lost. But he's given us direction. And he's given us direction that is for each one of us as individuals. He comes to us where we are. If he gives us something to do, and we do it, he's going to give us more to do. And we do it. And he's going to give you more to do. And you do it. And then you'll look up and it's over with. You know, C.S. Lewis talked about this being shadow land. This is just the preparation for real living. You don't have to worry about sin on the other side. Praise God, Hazel. Because if you really recognize where you are in this journey, hallelujah is for real. To say, no sin. No sin. Oh, praise God. Going back to these words in Proverbs, there's an antithetic parallelism all through the Proverbs. The contrast is between those who are children of God and those who are not. those that are and those who aren't. One is in the path of truth, the other the path of insubordination, if you will, and ignorance. God calls them fools. We have a somewhat modern proverb. It goes something like this: where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. Huh? Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. This is a false proverb. Watch out. Watch out. The script has just been flipped. Watch out for the script flippers. Watch out for the script flippers. They've just changed something that was good to something that's bad. Something that's bad to something good. They call it bad good. Watch out. Watch out. There's a disconnect. Watch out for the disconnect. Watch out for the script flippers. If the script has been flipped, don't follow the script. You go back to the script that you know. The script that you know. No single man wrote this script. So guess what? No single man can flip this script. Thank God he's put his GPS here for us to read. Let's drop down to verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. It's kind of interesting. If you drop down to verse 9 from that, look at verse 5. If you happen to be looking at it, not necessarily look at it, because I'm going to share it with you. If you look down to verse 9, you'll notice that there's a slight difference. If you are looking at verse 5, drop down to verse 9, the only difference is perish. Okay? Not escape, perish. Not escape, perish. Two times in those few verses, we're told about a false witness not going unpunished. Going to be punished. This is almost the same statement, if you will. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. A false witness is not going to escape. He will be found out. He will be called to account for what he has said. Not only that, he's going to perish. If you jump over into Revelation 21:8, he's going to perish. We get that in the very end. He's going to perish. We've been told all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. We've been told, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. We've been told. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Taken from James 22 through 25. You all know that I really love James, but let's look at something here. We've been told. I keep saying we've been told. See, it's easy to say we've been told when I look out across the landscape and know that I got all believers in here looking, listening to what's being said. The irony is that we live in a country that has freedom of speech. So consequently, you have people saying all kind of things. We live in a country that has an abundance of internet access, and you can find all sorts of things on the internet, some God glorifying, many of which are not. So what am I trying to get at? You got to wade through a lot of stuff sometime in order to get to the truth. It's worth the effort. We live in a country that has religious freedom. Don't forget that. It was not something that was freely gained. A lot of blood shed. A lot of blood shed for the opportunity that we have. Watch out for the script flippers. Anybody that comes to you saying, do something that God said don't do, don't do it. I know it sounds simplistic, but if you know God's word, any of his word, and somebody comes to you on a part that you do know about, because quite frankly, I've read from cover to cover, and I'm not going to claim to know everything in there. But guess what? There's a whole bunch of stuff I do know. And I know some of the stuff that he said do, and I know some of the stuff he said don't do, and that's why we're called into fellowship, so that we might sharpen our instruments, our weapons, if you will, our wit, our witness, so that when somebody comes to you with some stuff that isn't true, that you have something to stand on other than your opinion being based on nothing. What am I basing my opinion on? I'm basing my opinion on the Word of God. If God said that two men should not lay down with one another, I might not understand it. I've never had that desire, but I might not understand it. But if he said don't do it, in other words, it's a foreign idea to me because that's something that I couldn't really embrace, if you will, as an idea, because I've never really thought about it. But, you know, if he said don't do it, then don't do it. I can share with you that, yes, in my earlier life, I was a thief. I was a thief. As I understood what God was saying about thievery and stealing, that's something I could have embraced. In other words, hey, he's telling me not to do what I've been doing. So what's that mean? That I should go and study to be a better thief? No! It means I need to stop stealing and not think about it. So guess what? If you've ever had the inclination about being homosexual, you need to push back from that, because that's what God said. Not me. I'm bearing witness to what his Bible tells me. So guess what? If he said don't do that, don't do that, whatever that may be, don't do it. Push back from it. Bear witness to it if anybody asks you about it. But no, that's not something you should do. Now, isn't it interesting? If he said don't do something, do you think it would be appropriate to discuss putting a crown on it? Watch out for the strip flippers. The script just been flipped. What am I talking about? I said, now wait a minute. He says in his word, not just in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, don't do that. Okay? The don't do that I'm talking about. I'm not railing on homosexuals, understand. I'm talking about sin. whatever the sin may be, because there's probably more fornication going on in this world than there is homosexuality. So I'm not railing against homosexuals, but I haven't heard anybody say they want to put a crown on fornication. Okay? Because if you were going to put a crown on fornication, that means, oh, you're going to get married? Oh, that's an honorable thing to do. Okay? That's nice. Not for homosexuals, it isn't. Because God doesn't even talk about homosexuals getting married, because that's not something he wanted them to do in the first place. And understand, I'm not railing on homosexuals. I have no agenda here other than to say, hey, look, there's a lot of stuff in here. Not just homosexuality that God says is an abomination, because all sin is an abomination to God. All sin is an abomination to God. And all wise, all knowing, all powerful God, pure, all sin. But how could you have the audacity to want to put a crown on it? What am I talking about? Most of you know that my wife went on to be with the Lord, but I used to wear my crown. Some of you got crowns on it here now. Okay? That's a crown. Small crown. Covenant that you have. Put a crown on it. Don't put a crown on something God didn't put approval on. That's being presumptive by man to want to put a crown on something God didn't ever say put a crown on. GPS. If you want to know where you are, you consult your GPS, right? Huh? Be it the global one or the godly one. The God one. I'm talking about the God one. If you want to know where you should be, consult your GPS. If you're doing the global one, what's it say? Redirecting. Turn around. You know, you like those little voices, right? See, we got one that's not dependent upon them satellites being in the sky. Sight of vision, line of sight, has nothing to do with weather. Whether the weather is okay. Nothing to do with that. Thank God we actually have a written word. The computer can crash, the global positioning can crash, but we've got our written word. And if you've got it in your heart, you've been blessed of God. If you want to know how to get where you can be or should be, consult your GPS. Where you can be? We got all sorts of examples in here about where you could be. The things that he's done for our brothers and sisters in the past, he can do for us. We know that he is omnipotent and that he has no shadow of turning. Thank God he has no shadow of turning. As he's been, as he is, he shall be. No change. None. You might come into a better understanding. He hasn't changed. Understand, he hasn't changed. His word has been here for us. If you want to know God's position on things, he stated his position. Don't get wrapped up in, well, what about this and what about that? He doesn't specifically say this or that. Okay? In those areas, don't worry about it. There may be some freedom in that, as long as you're not sinning. But the sad part about it, many of us really are not asking a question for a godly answer whatever that answer might be, are you going to be willing to embrace it? See, many of us have preconceived notions about God. Can you answer it by A, B, C, or D? And his response is no. Why are you trying to write the prescription? Seek his guidance and his word. And I believe he's going to answer you. You might not like the answer, or it may not have occurred to you that there was an answer. But why is it that when someone says, well, I think we ought to do this, and you ask them, well, how did you come up with that? And they say, well, I talked to my wife, and I talked to my friends, and I talked to some other people, and they seem to be doing all right in their life, and you know, I came away with, this is what I think I ought to do. And I say, well, have you consulted the Word? Does the Word have anything about, is the Word silent on it? Because if the Word is not silent on it, then you ought to consult the Word before you even consult any of them other people. As much as I am a proponent for the husband and wife and their oneness, but that's under God. That's not, your wife should not precede God. If God has something to say about it, and that's what's vital to be in a household of faith, where you have a sense that your brothers and sisters are supportive of what God is saying, because they might have some insights into the question that you're posed. That's how you can sharpen up your walk, sharpen up your talk, so that it might be the same, so it wouldn't be disjointed. When we receive the word from the Lord, when we receive a word from the Lord, the truth that he has to say about an issue that we bring before him, what should our response be? Amen. Amen. Shouldn't be predicated upon you. You know, I used to talk to Ramon about a lot, number of different things, but if God had a word to say about it, I hate to bust your bubble, but God's going to win out. As much as I love that woman, the bottom line is that if the word was clear, understand something. I'm talking about the word being clear. There's some things that you're going to really have to take it in prayer and fasting and asking other saints to pray with you for some clarity. I'm talking about, don't go so deep, because the problem is a lot of times we'll go deep on something that really isn't that deep at all. The answer can be so simple, and it's like, could it really be that simple? And I'm saying to you, yeah, most things are. If you know a bit of God's word, and you're in a household of faith, there are going to be a lot of things that are going to come your way. The answer is simple. You may not want to do what the answer says. Push back from your sin. Don't embrace it. Thought, word, and deed. It's kind of hard to get the deed if you're not thinking about it. I'm talking about not a mistake you make. I'm talking about most stuff that we do that's against God. There's some thought went into it. You know, be it either habitual or something that you really got a problem with. More systemic. We're creatures of habit. Guess what? If you got bad habits, the likelihood is you're going to do what your habit has done or produced in the past. Unless you replace it with something. And I would submit to you, if you replace it with prayer and your word and listening to the saints, that you're on a good pathway to actually changing your behavior. It troubles me that a lot of times we will say, well, you know, I got this response from a nice person. You know, I consulted my wife, my friends, even my employees. You know, some people talk to their employees. Those living in a condition that God prohibits. What am I talking about? Somebody's a murderer or a rapist, a thief or an adulterer, an idolater, a liar, a fornicator. If you got a problem with one of those things and you're consulting someone that has one of those problems, I mean, that's what prior to being saved and my nature being changed, I mean, you know, do you really want to change if it's assaulting them? No! You're assaulting the wrong people! Nice people. I hate to bust your bubble. Ain't none of us nice. Truth be known, none of us are nice but for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If there's anything nice in me, it's because God has replaced that, replaced some stuff with something good. God has spoken. If God has spoken on it, Andre Crouch has a song out right now, Let the Church Say Amen. And a number of the verses in there are speaking to any and every kind of idea that God might speak on. And the response is, the church should say amen. If God has spoken about GPS, God's position system, if God has spoken on it, then we need to be about the business of saying amen. We need to be about the business of actively being engaged in demonstrating amen. Not merely paying lip service. Oh, amen, amen. And I walk out the door and I do whatever the hell I please. Is that demonstrating amen? No. Don't just pay or play lip service to God. He knows your heart. When he called Ramona home, I prayed and I said, amen. Didn't like it. But you know what? God is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be praised. He's the only one that's worthy to be praised. If God has spoken, we as believers need to be about embracing that which he said is wholesome. That which he says is wholesome.